And there's Eric Zorn on line two. Hey, Mr. Zorn, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, John?
Pretty good. By the way, I had my friend Pastor Corey Brooks on a little while ago. I asked him about closing some of the Chicago public schools, which have lower than capacity attendance. One third of the schools have less than 50% capacity. He's all for closing those schools down, but he wants to give the kid vouchers so that the dollars follow the kid, something our colleague Austin Berg from the Illinois Policy Institute advocates for. What's your thought about that in general? I know that's not why I called today, but it's kind of top of mind, and I know you've thought about this.
You asked me about voucher systems and Pastor Corey Brooks' idea that we should close these low-performing public schools and give the kids vouchers so they can go to private schools.
Yeah.
I'm opposed to that. I think that what that would do is it would further bleed money from the already drenched in red ink public school systems, because you would take the money away from the schools and give it to the kids to go to private schools. It would also amount to the public financing religious education in a lot of cases, which is another thing that I'm opposed to. I think the answer is to consolidate public schools and to fund them according to need, and not to keep these schools up with us. We've talked about this on the podcast. There's a high school in Chicago where there are 33 students in a facility that's built for more than 800 students, and I know that schools are important anchors to communities, but at some point, that's not fair to the kids who are at that school. They can't have a basketball team and a football team, and they can't have the sort of things that other kids have. They can't have, you know, robust arts programs and all the things that you want kids to have, because they just can't staff a school with 33 students in it with a full complement of teachers and coaches and other kinds of instructors. So, I'm not in favor of voucher systems. I think that they will end up killing public education, which is really a cornerstone of our democracy. So.
By the way, the book I was talking about, Say Nothing, A True Story of Murder and Memory in Northern Ireland, it came out in 2019. It's, as I said, spellbinding by Patrick Radden Keefe, R-A-D-D-E-N, Radden Keefe, K-E-E-F-E, Patrick Radden Keefe. The book is Say Nothing. One thing that Pastor Brooks said, Eric, was that some of the kids, when they go to one of these other schools, I'm with you, it makes sense, but they will be dropped from one neighborhood into another neighborhood where maybe the gang is different than the one in their neighborhood. And he said there are fights in at least one of these high schools. He didn't want to mention it by name on the air, but he said there's fights every single day. If you drop some kids in there thinking, okay, problem solved, you have a safety issue. And I would answer that, then let's make sure that it's safe for the kids. I don't know if you have security guards in every classroom. I don't know how you manage that. But it just seems to me like that's a problem to solve. It's not a reason you can't do it.
Yeah, it is a problem. Of course, they have the safe passage monitors, people who are on the sidewalks trying to help kids who are going to new schools in the city, and they've done that since Rahm Emanuel closed 50 schools.
Yeah, but we need them in the classrooms.
Years ago. Even in the classrooms. I mean, I don't know exactly how a voucher program solves that problem. I mean, kids are going to different schools in different neighborhoods if they have vouchers, and they'll still be running into the same problems, I would guess. So, that is a problem, because often these gangs or these cliques, the smaller gang units, are neighborhood-based. So they do have to deal with that problem. But I don't know that just throwing money at really low-attended schools is the answer to that problem either.
Yeah. You were writing about Spot Hero on your Picayune Sentinel newsletter. Why?
Yeah, today what's happened in September, I guess I should say, because it's now October. In September, I had three instances where Spot Hero, which is this app where if you're going to go somewhere in the city and you want to book a parking spot early on.
Sure.
You go to the app. Yeah, and people don't know what the Park Wiz is, another one, Park Mobile, Park Tree. There are a bunch of them, but Spot Hero is the one that I think is maybe the oldest and certainly the one I've used for a long time. I had three times in September where Spot Hero let me down. And one time was when I arrived at a parking spot where I'd paid $12, and I saw that the entrance sign said it's only $4 this evening. I was like, wait a minute, I just paid 12. Another time I was down right in your neighborhood there, John, and at WGN, I was going to a book party, and I had booked one of those underground spots near the WGN studios,
right.
And sort of lower lake, and I just couldn't get to it. The directions on the app weren't good, and there were some road closures, so I ended up having to miss the whole party. I just turned around and went home. And the last time we went to a wedding on Saturday up near Lincoln Park Zoo, and we booked an individual spot behind an apartment building, and that spot was full. Anyway, three times, spot here, I'll let me down, but three times I called and contacted the customer service, and three times they made me whole. The last time on Saturday night when we couldn't park in the spot that was reserved for us, they booked us another spot that was like two doors away that was actually more expensive. They did that on the spot on their helpline. The other two times they fully refunded my money. And I just thought, you know, that kind of customer service is pretty rare. The fact that you could actually reach a person and have them deal with you quickly, and then the other times where they offered a refund without making me jump through a bunch of hoops. And I thought, you know, I'm always complaining. One of the things that I did as a columnist at the Tribune, and that I do in my newsletter, is I gripe about things. And I thought, well, this is three times where, yeah, things aren't perfect with these apps, but when they do their best to make you whole, and they do it quickly, and they do it cheerfully, and they do it personally. The response from the spot hero seemed to be from a real person. I guess you can't always tell anymore, but I thought that was pretty great. And I thought, well, I'm just going to say something nice about spot hero rather than complain all the time.
Did your readers agree with you?
Yeah, people have been sending in some of their own favorable customer service stories, and you know, it's one of those things where there are companies that do that well, that handle complaints. You know, they can't always make you all. I wouldn't have blamed them in that incident where I missed I couldn't find the entrance to the parking garage. I wouldn't have blamed them for saying, "Hey, buddy, that's on you. You know, we gave you the right address. You got to find it." They were perfectly entitled to do that, but yeah, they refunded my money. I thought that was, you know, I think that kind of customer service goes a real long way with me.
It's funny because over the weekend, my brother in town from out of town was looking for a place to park downtown. He was out in the suburbs at the time. And he was like on, what was it, Sunday evening, calling the spot hero. And I thought, you can't call spot hero. And no one's going to know it. What are you doing? And next thing you know, he's chatting away with somebody and had a reasonable conversation. I don't know how he resolved it all, but I was just impressed that there was a human being on the other end. I called Brother, the computer maker, the printer. I have a Brother printer, and I... Every now and then my power shuts off or there's a glitch and then the thing needs to be reset. And the machinations you go through to reset the communication between the printer and the computer, it's Wi-Fi enabled, is incredible. Like they made it impossible for a person to know how to navigate the machine. So I'm always calling their service line. And there's always somebody with some rich accent. And they are so patient and helpful. At one point, the guy said, "Well, just pull up a go to like your computer settings page." Da 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 da. And I said, "I'm sorry, I don't know what you just said. Like, I don't know what that is." And there's this pause. And I said to him, "I know, I am so stupid, but I don't know what you're telling me to do." And he could not have been more patient. And let's hear it for the people that do that work sometimes, huh?
Yeah, I always make it a point not to get mad at anybody who's on the other end of those lines if you actually reach a human being, because you know that they're not paid well. I don't appreciate it so much when a company has outsourced its customer service line to, you know, Bangalore or someplace like that, and the people barely speak English. They're very hard to understand. I know it's not their native language, but I feel like if the company's cheaping out, I don't know where the spot hero, the person we talked to on Saturday night, was based. Did not sound foreign, but, you know, I mean, again, I got nothing against foreign people at all. But when you can tell that a customer service line is being staffed in some sort of call center overseas, you think, like, the company just trying to cheap out on what I think is a really important aspect of business. And I got to say, for Spot Hero, they got a customer for life for me. You know, I'm not going to go to another app. I'm
going to
fuck them up when people.
How about that?
You know,
but I mean,
so
this story is about
on their part.
Your story is three times. It didn't work. But since they were so good about managing their mistakes or the, you know, the fact that the app isn't perfect, you're very happy about it. You want to continue to patronize them. That says something.
And also, I got to say that in all the years and months before that, I've had almost no problem with Spot Hero. So this was like three times in a row that we had problems. But again, I don't expect any company to perform perfectly. You know, if they make mistakes.
Right.
Somebody was camped out in a spot that they owned. Somebody was just parked there. And what are they going to do about it? They can't call a tow truck for me. I wouldn't want them to. But they did make me whole. And that, you know, what else can you ask for in a situation like that?
I wonder what stores still have that reputation or businesses. For instance, Marshall Field and Nordstrom were famous for customer relations to the point that people took advantage of them. But I wonder who else is notorious for how well they treat customers. We seem to hear the opposite these days. I also wanted to ask Eric Zorn about the Electoral College system. I can imagine why you're thinking about that, Eric, but what are you writing about and thinking about that after this on WGN? 11:51 on WGN. We're talking to Eric Zorn. He is the publisher of the Picayune Sentinel, PICAYUNE, Picayune Sentinel. It's a newsletter you can get for free if you email ericzorn@gmail.com. Pay a little bit, you'll get the premium edition. My sister said you should change the name of it, Eric.
Why? Why would she say that? It's got family history, that name.
Yeah, well, that's your problem. I mean, and it's lovely. That goes back to your father, who was a man of words and numbers, as are you, but also it's hard for people to spell, or they wonder, what did he just say? The Picayune, the what? So that was the suggestion. But I think people are smart enough to figure it out. I believe you once said, if you can't figure that out, I don't want you. Was that your take on it, Eric?
I would never say that about anybody who wants to read my stuff. But I understand it's hard, a little hard to spell, but I'm doing all right with it, so.
Yeah, actually, how many subscribers do you have to the Picayune Sentinel?
It's about 13,000 now.
How about that? You had something about...
Smaller than the Tribune, but still doing pretty well.
Enough to make a living. Well, what about the Electoral College? What did you say about that, the dreadful Electoral College?
Yeah, I this is an issue that comes up every 4 years, especially in the last few, when the winner of the popular vote has not won the election for president. And, you know, the Constitution does not require every state to award all its electoral votes to a single candidate, that you can split it up. And this came to my mind because Nebraska was playing with the idea. They've got a system where the Omaha area has its own electoral vote, and that vote is likely to go to a Democrat, and the rest of the state is likely to go to a Republican. So there's likely to be a vote out of Nebraska for Vice President Harris when the rest of the vote goes for Trump. Most states, 48 out of 50, award their electoral votes. Just all of them, like Illinois, is probably going to go to Harris.
Right.
And all 20 of our votes are going to... that offends me as a, because... I mean, it's going to work out. I'll vote for Harris, and I'm glad to have all our votes go to Harris. But if I'm a Trump voter or a Republican, I'm like, why am I voting? They're not even counting my vote. They're disenfranchising
me.
Similarly, if I lived in a red state like South Carolina or in Alabama or even Texas these days, my vote for Harris wouldn't count at all. And I just think that's wrong. And I think this is, of course, a debate that's gone on forever. And apparently there have been, over the course of history, there have been 700 attempts, legislative attempts, to fix the Electoral College. And my idea is that the Supreme Court could rule that states have to send a proportionate number of electors to the Electoral College. That is to say, in Illinois last time, it was basically 57% of the vote went to Biden, something like that, so that you would send 12 votes for Biden and 8 for Trump. to the Electoral College. And every state would do that so that the Electoral College vote would more closely reflect the popular vote, which makes a lot of sense to me, because it does seem like that there ought to be, it wouldn't match exactly, because the smaller states do have more electoral votes than the larger states by population. So the smaller states would still have some of their outsized power, but it wouldn't be quite the same as it is now. The drawback to that, I have to admit, is that if you had a third party running, and that party also got electoral college votes, which they would under this system, then the election would go to the House of Representatives. And I found somebody on one of the social media sites who had crunched all the numbers and said that, like, in 12 presidential elections, if they had apportioned the votes this way, the election would have gone to the House of Representatives. And the House of Representatives is not necessarily reflective of the public. That in our case right now, the House of Representatives is Republican, so that no matter who won or who was in first place in the popular vote, it would go to the Republican. So that system isn't perfect, but I do have a lot of problems with the
Electoral. Well, that's something
college.
To think about. That if the election were to go to the House, that is, if you had a 269-269 tie, it would go to the House, and the House would elect a Republican, right? And
yes, but if you remember, Ross Perot got something like 19% of the vote, so he would have gotten 19% of the Electoral College vote, and that election would have gone to the would have gone to the House clearly.
Well, yeah, right.
And in fact, and there might have been even some cases in recent elections. I can't remember if like Gary Johnson got enough to get an electoral vote or two if that election could have gone in 2016 to the House. I don't know, but it would have been. You know, again, it could work the popular will, and I do think it's important that the person who is elected president is supported by a majority of the voters. That seems to me to be a basic principle of democracy.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, if you think about it, even though Trump doesn't think he lost the last election, Joe Biden got 7 million more votes than he did. Al Gore got more votes than Bush did. Hillary Clinton got more votes than Donald Trump did. But our Electoral College system just doesn't account for that. And it's not supposed to account for that. The story of Nebraska is fascinating. We're out of time. Maybe we'll talk about this on The Rascals. But the fact that you could have 269-269 and that one district around a university in Nebraska could decide it, because in Nebraska, it's not winner take all. Ditto Maine. So, and Donald Trump and the Republicans just tried to make Nebraska an all or nothing state rather than apportioning it based on how people vote. As it sits right now, do I understand this correctly, Eric, that
yes, exactly right.
And single vote could go Democrat?
You're exactly right, and states have every power. They can do it. Any state could do that. Any state could apportion it. But since like the early 1800s, every state except those two have gone with the winner take all system. Yeah. And you know, even Thomas Jefferson supported the district system.
Oh,
the
now you're singing district. My song. Now you're talking my story. I'm out of time. We will talk about this on the Mincing Rascals podcast tomorrow, as well as other noted Chicago topics. Thank you, Mr. Zorn.
Look forward to it, John. Thanks. Bye.
Eric publishes something called the Picayune Sentinel. Email ericzorn@gmail.com.